Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Well, we've got a new premier.
Yeah.
Officially. By-election's through.
Done.
Got the results.
Yep. She's in.
What does it all mean?
Yeah. This is a very interesting time to see how this whole premier change happened.
Mm-hmm.
All of the, I'll call it drama, thanks to all the posts, Twitter feeds, and everything else on social media happening. But we kind of want to look at what's the overview of this new premier and her vision. She's definitely not a stranger to this station, of course. And so, you know, where does it go from here? And how do we actually, you know, view this province with Danielle Smith being the premier of this province? How does it all work out? So let's bring on, of course, our reoccurring expert on this topic, Laurie Williams, associate professor at Mount Royal University. Laurie, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. It's great to be with you.
Laurie, maybe you can just give us a quick overview of the results of the by-election. You know, I was reading about it, and I'll get your comments on it, but the margin to me looked maybe a little skinnier than what the team would have probably liked to see. But I'm no expert. You're the expert. What did you see?
Well, they definitely wanted a more decisive margin of victory, but, you know, a victory is a victory, and they'll take that and try to parlay that into something bigger. But just to put this into perspective, an unknown candidate in the 2019 general election got a higher percentage of the vote and a larger number of net votes. There was a nearly 47%, I think, margin, 42% margin between the winning candidate in the general election and the next highest competitor. That margin shrunk significantly here down to about 22-23% margin of victory. And if you put the Alberta Party and the NDP party together, they're running fairly close. I mean, there were times last night where it was looking like it might dip under 50%. And that is why I think Danielle Smith said it was a nail biter. She knew she had to get a real majority. And let's remember, this is a conservative stronghold. She was expected to win by a large margin. And this tells her that it's a tougher fight than perhaps she anticipated. Look also at what happened in Brooks and in Medicine Hat proper in those urban centers. She didn't win those. The Medicine Hat was won by the NDP candidate, Ms. Dirk. She won the popular vote in Medicine Hat. So that also speaks to the concerns around Danielle Smith's appeal in urban areas. So it's I think a mistake to divide Alberta into just the three zones of Edmonton, Calgary, and rural, because there are a lot of folks in technically urban Alberta, as some people might have thought of it historically, who are actually living in urban centers and are dealing with different issues and looking for different answers than they've seen so far from Danielle Smith.
Laurie, when we look at where Danielle Smith is as of today, how has she done, if you were to give her a grade on her report card, what would it look like? And then also, what can she do now from this point on to kind of bring the province together and actually address the concerns from the election, the by-election, the conversation they've been having in the party on its own, and then what generally the public is kind of wanting overall?
Right. So the problem for Danielle Smith is that she campaigned on a number of issues that weren't sort of top of mind for Albertans. And I think the attention paid to the race was relatively low amongst folks that weren't actually engaged in voting for it. As soon as she got elected, she said that she wasn't going to hold a by-election in Calgary Elbow, but was going to have someone step down so she could run here in Brooks Medicine Hat. That raised questions about her commitment to democratic accountability. That, I think, was quite problematic. Then she gave an interview saying that she really didn't need Calgary except for a few seats there. That, of course, offended not just the folks at Calgary Elbow, but really put her offside of people in Calgary. First day of premier, she talked about the discrimination against unvaccinated people, and a lot of her social media posts and videos and columns and so forth have come up to haunt her. And she's continued to refer to and support some of the things that she's said historically. So what she's been doing is trying to engage in damage control, not just for the things she said before she was even running for the leadership, but the things that she has said as a leadership candidate and now as leader and premier. that's a terrible place to be starting out when you've got an election 6 months away. So she's definitely got a lot of challenges on her hands of her own making. And I think you're noticing a bit of a change in the focus or the language now. She's talking about her team. She's trying to sort of focus on the entire UCP caucus rather than on her, in the hopes that that will generate a little bit more support, that perhaps the popularity of her party will be enough to take her over the finish line in the general election. Now, she has a lot of money to work with, and that's certainly an advantage, something the NDP doesn't have. So Danielle Smith won't just be talking about her vision for handling inflation, healthcare, and education. She'll actually be throwing money at these problems. The question is whether money is going to be enough. And you folks are experts on that side of things. These are intractable problems that go far beyond Alberta's borders. And to think that Danielle Smith is going to fix them or even make a material difference, that's an open question. And if she doesn't, then she's going to face significant headwinds going into the general election.
Here's a conversation that's been happening behind the scenes. I call it the water cooler talk of many Albertans is, what does the UCP stand for as of now with Danielle as the leader? What are their core values? So as we go into this next election, it's going to be coming down the pike. What do they really stand for? And how different is it from what, let's say, the NDP stand for? And so that people can kind of get an idea of what the heck is going to happen in this next election. So from your perspective, what do you think are today the core values of the UCP party?
Well, that's unfortunately a question that's difficult to answer, and that's a problem for the UCP, because Danielle Smith herself hasn't been 100% clear and consistent on her position on a number of issues. What the Sovereignty Act is actually going to look like now, as opposed to what she said it would mean during the campaign, and of course she said it would mean different things during the campaign. So a lot of people are wondering exactly what Danielle Smith does stand for. Those past and present comments she's made about vaccines and therapeutics and so forth could be problematic for her. So far, her solution to the problems in healthcare are to fire AHS and possibly the College of Physicians and Surgeons. You would have thought she would learn the lesson to not attack the healthcare workers that were their heroes during the pandemic. So it's difficult to know what she stands for, first of all, and secondly, the party itself is deeply divided. There are people who think very different things within the party. I mean, we're seeing in the Livingston-McLeod race, the nominee of the local constituency association has been disqualified by the board. Now, the new board, with a whole bunch of Take Back Alberta candidates, about half the board are going to decide whether or not she can stand as a candidate. And if she can't, having said things that are similar to what Danielle Smith has said, what does that mean for the party? Where do the moderates fit within the party? I mean, there are deep divisions within the party, and what it stands for and whether they can be united in sort of a common vision for the future is a very open question. By contrast, the NDP does have a pretty clear vision for what they want to do. And they're not just criticizing the current government for its failures on various policies and files. They're providing their alternatives. And that sort of stable vision for the future, those ideas about how things could be improved, could be more appealing to folks that are looking for stability. And they're not seeing a lot of it, unfortunately, so far with the UCP.
Okay. Well, it's going to make for an interesting 6 months as we see the messaging all come together and what Albertans decide to do. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And we want to thank you, Lori, for joining us today. It's been some good insight. We're going to obviously bring you back and give the synopsis probably after the election again. So we've been joined by Lori Williams, Associate Professor at Montreal University. Thanks for joining us, Lori.
Thank you very much.
You know, politics always plays a role at every point in our life, certainly in retirement, continues to play a role. What, you know, governments do to support people as they transition into retirement, there's very different needs for people as they move through different phases of retirement.
And Lori mentioned one key thing about we're trying to figure out what the vision is of this administration. Well, when you don't have that clarity, that rises uncertainty. And when you rise with that type of uncertainty, being an Albertan, how does your retirement look like with that kind of uncertainty as one of the key concerns that people have? So how do you make sure you've got a proper strategy in place regardless of where the political stream may go on this election or any other election.
That's right, because there's going to be lots of them.
There's going to be lots of them. We're going to talk about how you can basically build that foundation for your retirement at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. in person at the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club. You do need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
You know, will your death be a burden on your family? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.